In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child and Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So it's just the beginning. And because it is the beginning, let's set up our understanding of this amazing feast day by doing just a very brief reflection or meditation. You can close your eyes if you want to, or you can find some image somewhere that will allow you to give your ears and imagination to God and to these wise people. It's called I Keep It There, and I have adapted it from an epiphany reflection by my friend Marin Tirabassi. The Magi are separated from the other figures of the creche, as Magi always are and were, by time and by their origin as strangers. Perhaps language, a headcloth, deep wrinkles around the eyes from looking so long into the desert and searching the sky for a star. And perhaps by loneliness they are separated. No one really wants to go home by another way. The Magi stand alone, except for here they stand by a few poinsettias in between two large trees that have their own light here in front of the altar. Every week in their due season, there have been images here. There's another one up here in front of the baptismal font from a book with an image of the Magi. But it's been different every single week. And during Advent, they were created by the Collects that actually, the paintings behind them were created by our youth, our teenagers. These images matter, just as the image of the wise people, the Magi, are there. Today is about the Magi and a camel. We have one camel. They might have had more. It reminds me that the journey out of this season will not be about fearing some elf on the shelf who watches me and adds up the good parts of my life and the not so good parts of my life, or my worthiness of receiving gifts, but rather some place to look all year long when I need to remember to be wise and trust that I am the one who is the giver to this precious and most vulnerable child, as ordinary as a bowl to be broken. I wanted the Magi to be separated from the creche for a couple of reasons. First, the birth, the creche over there on the other side of the altar, deserves its own time. Christmas is such a short season, and this year we don't even get two Sundays for Christmas. We get one because Epiphany falls on a Sunday. So that creche deserves its own time. And second, because the Epiphany has an importance of a celebration as well. It's not just when we take our Christmas trees down. It is a celebration of its own. And actually, in the commentaries and in the research, and if you actually reread that gospel again from Matthew, the Magi didn't arrive when Jesus was in the manger. They arrived when he was a toddler. He never showed up at the creche. These guys never showed up at the creche. And we don't know that there were only three of them. We just know they had three gifts. And they were called Magi. And yeah, they probably were men. But my guess, there were some women with them as well. Just saying. But the Epiphany needs its own time. That's why we call it a feast day. It's a holy day. So in many ways, this feast day is where we actually step into this story of the early years of Jesus' life. We are more stranger than family member to that creche scene and to Jesus' life afterwards. We are Gentiles. We are not faithful Jews the way Jesus' family was. At our best, we are more wise men and women searching, seeking the light of Christ. By whatever star appears in our lives, whatever point of light shines on our true path, even if it means going home by another way. Nothing has made me more aware of that than being an intentional interim. I go home by another way all the time. In Western Christianity, we observe this day primarily as a commemoration of the wise men who journeyed to see Jesus. But in the East, Epiphany is a major feast day that celebrates not only Christ's manifestation to the world through his birth and to the Magi in their visit, but also in the way in which Jesus showed himself forth in his baptism and the first recorded miracle, the changing of water to wine at a wedding in Cana. And we will hear those stories next Sunday and the Sunday after. But to do this and really create a certain understanding of that this manifestation is about leading us in today's world to the presence where we may see God's glory face to face, that Christ then can be manifest in us, that we can show the light of Christ out to the rest of the world and to each other. And how do we do that? Well, I think that it's essential for us to see the wisdom of this creche scene as more than just a children's pageant or a set of Christmas carols. And we have already sung several of them that really went along with the fact that the whole thing is wrapped together in one lovely little pageant. But it's not. But I did come across, and I love these, I call them Holy Spirit moments, when God directs me to go someplace and I find out something brand new I had never known about these stories. So one commentary this week that I found actually told me something about these Magi. The term Magi is plural. It's a plural form of a Greek word, and I can never get these pronounced right. It looks like it's Magoi in Greek. which means Zoroastrian priests. They were neither kings nor wise men. Maybe they earned the title wise men because of their skills in interpreting dreams. Remember, they heard something in a dream and went home by another way, and understanding astrology. They were well known for telling fortunes and preparing daily horoscopes. They were scholars of their day and enjoyed access to the Persian emperor. Zoroastrianism, that's a mouthful, is one of the oldest religions in the world, which is still active in Iran today. It was the official religion of Persia before Islam. How many people knew that? Few of you, but not most of us. I vaguely remember that name somewhere in church history, or maybe it was a Bible class in seminary. I don't know. But all of a sudden, God zeroed me in on this. It became something that I needed to pay attention to. And that's the idea of Epiphany, is that it brings God up close, face to face. Not only are we illumined by the light of Christ, we become illumination, and our lives become epiphanies of Christ for each other and all those we meet along the way. And it takes actually getting to know those strangers who show up in our midst, in our neighborhoods, here at church, in our conflicts and resolutions, in other regions of the country. I don't know about you, but when I moved to Tennessee for the very first time, it felt like a different country. And it took me a while before I got really to fall in love with the place and the people. I felt homesick. But not just the regions of our country, but also beyond our borders and at our borders. We are in so many ways right now going home by another way. This week, we had the most diverse freshman class of Congress sworn in. It was stunning, truly. And it will take time to actually get to know them, no matter which side of the aisle they sit on. And probably the best advice I can say is that we ought not jump to conclusions before issues and policies begin to become clear. We need to live into who this new group of people are that are going to be offering their leadership to the country, and how that group will blend with the group that was already there. Every time you add a new person to a community or a group, the whole group changes. That's fact. It's been proven. This week, I also had the opportunity to join a group of people in Springfield who were making known the plight of one of our own who is currently fighting deportation in the state of Georgia. And I call him one of our own because I listened to their stories, and because he has been a wonderful neighbor to many here in Western Massachusetts for a very long time, even though he was undocumented. The blessing for me that morning was seeing and hearing the diversity present so close by, and hearing their stories, their heartfelt stories. Our Episcopal Church has been a hallmark for diversity since its beginning. When we say we welcome all, we have always meant all. It is as we gather together around our common prayer, that wonderful red book in your pews, that we find our unity, our what we refer to as our via media, or some say via media, but that sort of goes to the whole media thing, so I go via media. And also, It brings us into a way of our conversations and relationships with each other. That one book, no matter what translation, no matter what country you're in, is where we gather around. And it is the fact that, for the most part, our prayers are pretty similar. And if we begin with prayer, then everything else becomes possible. And we are here in a transition time, going home by another way, even though our location will not change. Well, I'll knock on wood on that. Sometimes it does change, but I don't think so this time. I'm pretty sure. I'd give it a 99% chance of staying right here. And what we're doing is the work necessary to know all the qualities and wisdom your next clergy leader will need to partner with all of you and join the leadership team as you all move forward into a new way of being home. A new way of being the family of God. A new way of living into your baptismal promises. And we will need every single epiphany moment we can discover along the way to prepare a welcome, just as the Magi did on their journey. Because this will be a welcome like no other. Every welcome has its own joy and discovery. No two are alike. Joy, perhaps more than any other word, encompasses this season of Epiphany in our calendar. Joy, and I would add vulnerability, two words we don't often put together. You can hear it in the words of the readings this morning. And I would suggest to you that you actually take a moment, go back to the readings at some point this week, and see if you can hear the words of joy and the action of vulnerability in those words that are offered to you by a prophet, a psalmist, a disciple, and a gospel writer. And they were not written at the same time, but they were written for communities. Four different kinds of communities. And yet there is truth that comes up for all of us, generation to generation. Going home, finding home, creating home is such a part of our needs as human beings. And an open, heartfelt welcome for the journey and discovery is the first step, with no strings attached. And I think it has everything to do with our flexibility and vulnerability to be led home to God and to each other. What if we actually use this image of home and being led home by another way to guide us through this season of Epiphany or even through the year ahead, seeking the manifestation of God all around us? And also seeking the manifestation in God through Jesus, the human flesh and blood person. Flexibility and vulnerability, joy and surprise are key here. We may keep this same space as home, but the space will take on a new life and be made new through our exploration of the way of love. And you're going to hear more about that next Sunday and also at annual meeting. We'll actually bring it to life at the annual meeting. We are seeking spaces and time that are opening themselves to all of us, and to some we don't even know yet. They haven't arrived. They're still on their journey. So how will we inhabit the coming year? How will we enter it with mindfulness and with intention? How will we move through the many rooms of the coming months in a way that brings blessing to this world? Well, I started with a blessing, and I'm going to end with a blessing. This one is offered to you by Jan Richardson, and it's called A Year as a House. Think of a year as a house. Door flung wide open in welcome, threshold swept, waiting. A graced spaciousness opening and offering itself to you. Let it be blessed in every room. Let it be hallowed in every corner. Let it every nook be a refuge and every object set to a holy use. Let it be here, here that safety will rest. Let it be here that health will make its home. Let it be here that peace will show its face. Let it be here that love will find a way. Here, let the weary come. Let the aching come. Let the lost come. Let the sorrowing come. Here, let them find their rest, and let them find their soothing, and let them find their place, and let them find their delight. And maybe, and may it be, in this house of a year, that the seasons will spin in beauty. And may it be, in these turning days, the time will spiral with joy. And may it be that its rooms will fill with ordinary grace and light spill from every window to welcome the stranger. Wherever you make your home, may it be blessed. Wherever we make our home, may it be blessed. And may you enter this Epiphany season in the coming year in peace and with the spiraling joy always there that will take us somewhere new, home by another way. Amen.